You're listening to Nowhere on Mulberry. Television, pop culture, it's where you find it. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Nowhere in Mulberry. Nowhere in Mulberry time machine, if you will. It is me again, Jason, and Bill. Hey, Bill, how's it going?
Hey, and, excellent.
I don't know what order people will listen to these shows in, but today we're going to 1984. Let's try June 8th, 1984.
I was born in September 79, so I wouldn't have been... Yeah, I would have been five.
I do remember seeing Gremlins in the theater.
No, not me. Not me. I didn't see Gremlins in the theater. I was way too young for that.
That's the thing we'll talk about with this movie, Bill. It's like, what age is this movie aimed at, you know?
Yeah, honestly, the first half, I can understand being young and seeing it, but then when it starts, that "do you hear what I hear" is the point where it's like, okay, anybody under 10 should leave the room.
Get all the kids out of here, because I remember seeing it, and I had the Gremlins collector's magazine, just like I had a Goonies collector's magazine.
Where the hell did you get these marvelous things?
You would just go to the grocery store in the magazine aisle next to the Teen Beats and stuff. They would have a movie magazine.
Nice.
It's like a collector's thing, and usually it had the little gatefold pull out of the movie poster.
I don't even... I guess I'm too young to remember those. I never had that.
The picture was of Billy holding the box, and, like, you could see something peeking out. It was Gizmo's hand.
Oh, yeah, the movie poster. Yeah. It's a great poster.
But you couldn't see the... I don't believe in the fold-out was the gremlin sticking out. It was almost like... It's almost like they didn't reveal what they looked like until the movie had come out for a while, and then they changed the poster. You know what I mean? At first, it was a mysterious box, and you had to go see the movie to see what these things looked like. But then after it was a hit, you know, you put it out. Hey, let's show everybody what they look like now, you know?
But it's such a great reveal in the movie that...
Yeah, it is.
It's almost a disappointment to just throw it out there.
And it's really cool, like... I don't remember specifics of product tie-in. Like, I'll have to look on YouTube to see if there was, like, McDonald's commercials or something. Gremlins tie-ins.
Was there, like, Gremlins going, yum, yum?
Yeah, Happy Meal toy. Caca! No, they wouldn't.
Gizmo caca!
But the thing is, Gremlins, there's something about it that it was scary at the same time. Because even now, I think there's scenes that are really effective in being, like, kind of creepy. You know what I mean?
I will say up front, this was not one of my favorite movies as a kid. Because it scared the shit out of me.
Right.
I did not like it. Because I could watch the opening of it, but I knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And it scared me. I don't think I warmed up to the movie until my late teens, honestly. Probably like 15, 16 years old, whenever I started to kind of become more of a film geek and go back into Joe Dante's catalog and kind of experience how much of a film geek he was.
Oh, yeah, huge.
And I honestly have to say, just as a sidebar, I think him being as big a film geek as he was kind of prevented his success in a way.
You think there was too much? Yeah, he always has these references or in his movies, background elements that if you know them, you know, you'll spot them. You know,
it feels like, who's he making the movie for?
I think he's making it for himself.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I don't think he has had nearly the success that a lot of people expected him to have, especially coming off of the Gremlins.
Definitely, like, if you watch Gremlins or Explorers or even the Twilight Zone thing he did, you get that sense. Even in the sound effects, you hear those old Warner Brothers cartoon sound effects. That kind of like Tasmanian Devil sounds and different things like that. And I think that's cool. You get that in there.
Absolutely.
Also, Inner Space, he did that. And that had
a ton of them. And that really was one of my favorite movies as a kid, because I thought it was just so cool. And Martin Short was just such a relatable kind of goofy guy.
And I would say after, I guess, The Burbs, which I love that movie too, I kind of lost touch with Joe Dante.
I think everyone lost touch with Joe Dante.
We did have Gremlins 2, but I'm going to say that was one sequel that was made way too late.
There are people I know of that love Gremlins 2, but you are right. It's so much lighter in tone.
The problem I have with Gremlins 2, if everyone will just take a backseat for a second, Gremlins, that's what we're here to talk about. But let me just mention this about Gremlins 2. What bothers me about Gremlins 2 is there's no storyline.
No, there isn't.
There is none at all. The movie, I mean, you could say that about Gremlins to a point where things just kind of go crazy, but there's a nice buildup and things kind of go crazy, and it happens in a natural way that feels okay. In Gremlins 2, I feel like they're just making everything up as they go along in that movie.
Yeah, let's let them loose in an office building, skyscraper.
Also, I believe they didn't get the same guy to do the Gremlins. Like, Chris Wallace does the incredible Gremlins effects in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he came back for Gremlins 2, because there's something different about him that bothers me. I don't know.
Wasn't it Rick Baker in Gremlins 2?
Maybe it is. It's someone who's accomplished, but they're different to me.
Yeah, I'm almost positive it's Rick Baker, because he was a producer on it.
Right. It's just something about Gremlins 2 just doesn't work for me. It's really cool to see the old characters come back, but I don't like it.
Don't even the Futtermans come back?
Yeah, the Futtermans.
And they were killed by a freaking snowplow.
Yeah, supposedly, but read that you can hear in the background on the TV that they'll go to interview Futterman.
Oh, okay.
So they survive somehow, I guess.
Yeah, but I was just never a real big fan of that. But Joe Dante himself, maybe he was, like I said, maybe he's just too much of a film fan to become that big of a director.
Now, what do you mean by film fan? You mean he's a little too esoteric or something?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Oh, Matinee. He did that movie. That's really good. I like
Matinee. Did Matinee. That was the John Goodman one, right?
Right.
It kind of blended the whole 60s Red Scare nuclear war thing.
He would do the movies where the interactive in the theater and stuff. I just remember Mant.
Yes, Mant.
But Joe Dante, I like him a lot. The movies that I can remember that I liked of those.
Yeah.
But let's go back to Gremlins.
Yeah, let's steer that back on the path.
The movie starts. It's got the great Hoyt Axton narration. I still think the beginning of the movie is a little awkward compared to the rest.
It's very awkward because they cut the beginning out.
Right. It's totally. If you go and watch the deleted scenes on the DVD, you'll see that it was much longer.
Yeah, and he visits another store and Chinese lady.
I don't even think that wasn't necessary. It's okay they cut that out, but I think it's kind of awkward, the narration.
Let me introduce myself. Peltzer's the name, Rand Peltzer. That's me there on the corner. I'm an inventor, and I have a story to tell. Yeah, I know. Who hadn't got a story? Well, nobody's got a story like this one. Nobody.
You know, Hoyt Axton, he's not the best actor, honestly.
Right.
But the narration just feels kind of stilted.
Yeah, yeah. It almost feels like what it feels like to me is they finish the movie and they're like, how do we get this beginning started and just get it going? And I guess they do.
My biggest problem with it is you can suspend disbelief. It's freaking Gremlins.
Uh-huh.
But it just looks too much like a backlot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so backlot-y.
Yeah. And it's the introduction of the store where Gizmo lives, or the Mogwai in the box.
Mogwai.
But what I want to know is, that guy keep the Mogwai in the box like all the time? Like, does he get to come out?
Well, I think
play?
We kind of find that out near the at the end of the film, that they've got quite a connection.
Yeah,
I don't think that's the case.
So the little shit kid just sells the Mogwai out from under his grandfather for
$200. Well, it's $200.
Wouldn't you charge at least $5,000 for something like that? Exotic pet?
An exotic living creature? Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to give you $100 here. That's $100. Okay, $200. And it's like, whoa, big spender. And we get to see that the Rand Peltzer. He's an inventor.
Rand Peltzer. Fantastic ideas for a fantastic world. I make the illogical logical.
The bathroom buddy.
Yeah, the bathroom buddy. It immediately made me think of Data from Goonies, another kind of bad inventor, right?
And in case you got yourself a bad case of dragon breath.
You got yourself a bad case of dragon breath. Bad breath.
Right. And then you hear that gong.
Yeah, what
it's
is that?
It's so
about?
Inappropriate.
What? That's so weird. That gong. And you see the dragon right there. It's kind of like, okay, what kind of movie is this?
Yeah.
You're not sure yet. Okay. And maybe that's a hint that this movie's going to go a little off the rails later on.
Off the rails?
We're going to cue any sound effect we want later on in this movie. I guess.
It's maybe it's kind of the, hey, we're kind of a self-aware film.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they... Basically, he buys the Mogwai, but when they introduce Kingston Falls, I do like the opening titles with the song. What song is that? Classic.
Isn't that Ronnie Spector song? That's one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Yeah, I love the whole opening there. And they show Kingston Falls, the town.
Yeah, and it's funny. Rockin' Ricky Rialto.
And after watching Gremlins again after all this time, you and I, when we both watched it, we got the same feeling like, this looks a lot like where Marty McFly lives, but it's the winter. It looks like it does in the 50s. Hill Valley, right?
Yeah, Hill Valley. And I think the thing that kind of tipped me off was as he's come running into town, he comes up past the theater, and the theater's at the end of the street.
Yeah, just like Hill Valley.
Yeah, and I was just like, wait a second, this feels strange.
Much like Hill Valley.
It was like deja vu.
And so I had to look it up, and of course it's filmed in the same set, and it was Universal Studios.
I wonder why I never picked up on that before.
I know, it's almost like there's a shot that's the same as Back to the Future. It's like the same shot or something, and it's like
yeah, it's that crane shot.
Yeah, it instantly clicks in your head, and for some reason, maybe because, I mean, I'm a fan of Gremlins, but I have not watched this movie a lot of times.
No, neither have I. I have, like I said, as I was a kid, I was scared shitless of it. So
yeah,
I can probably count on both hands how many times I've watched Gremlins.
Right, I probably watched it in the theater. I probably watched it on cable as a kid. I probably watched it on VHS and DVD. I probably watched it like 6 times in my life, maybe 5 or 6 times. But I've always been a fan of it.
Yeah.
You know, so when you see a shot like that, it's like, whoa, it's almost like when you're a kid, that's one thing that's cool about us revisiting these old movies, because we love these movies as kids, and then you grow up and watching it with kind of new eyes in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never would have paid attention to that dragon gong before, but this time it's like, okay, that was awkward.
Yeah, you just pick up things as you age. I guess as a kid, you're just more open to things. And as an adult, you just become more critical, or you have a more critical eye.
Yeah, when I saw Kingston Falls, the first thing I think it also is, hey, it's like the town of Mulberry. Like, you know, the small town kind of vibe. Kind of cool.
Yeah, small town center. Everyone knows each other.
Businesses.
You got the guy selling the Christmas trees with his son dressed up as a Christmas tree. You got the sheriff trying to bum a tree off of him.
Yeah, trying to get a free tree.
Well, what do you say, Alex? Come on, you can spare one for the boys down at the sheriff's station.
I paid for mine, Frank.
And one thing that's interesting about this movie, and I swear to God I never picked up on this before or didn't pay attention, but everyone's miserable because they're out of work.
Yes. And again, I've never picked up on that, but I knew everyone was kind of down and out.
Yeah.
It seemed like a kind of a town going through a depression. You always, you know, the Mrs. Deagle stuff with people afraid to talk to her.
Good morning, Mrs. Deagle.
What's good about him?
Oh.
I guess it just never clicked with me.
Yeah, I knew she was mean because, you know, when Billy... First, when Billy's trying to start his VW and they introduce Mr. Futterman, he's like, goddamn foreign cars.
Goddamn foreign cars. They always freeze up on you. You don't find American machinery doing that. Our stuff can take anything. See that plow? 15 years old. Hasn't given me a day's trouble in 15 years. You know why? Kentucky Harvester. It ain't some farm piece of crap you pick up these days.
That's a Kentucky Harvester.
Hmm. Yeah, he's Futterman. That's his big thing is. And then he's like, yeah, you see my plow? It's a Kentucky Harvester.
That thing has never broken down on me once.
Because it's made in America.
Yeah. So he's definitely racist. And he's
a drunk. Yeah, and I think, is it implied that he served in World War II?
Yeah, just like in WW2.
WW2.
Goddamn foreign cars.
And yeah, by the way.
Goddamn foreign cars.
Dick Miller, I think he's in every Joe Dante movie, but he's. I always know him as the guy from Terminator.
Yeah.
You know, hey, buddy, only what you see. You know, that guy. But because I love that actor. Dick Miller is great. So when Billy arrives at the bank, you see there's that part where Mrs. Deagle comes up and they play that music. That dun, 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 dun.
That music is so gratingly annoying that it like sets it up perfectly for this sourpuss old bitch.
Yeah, played by Polly Holiday from Alice.
Yeah, I mean, it's so strange seeing Flo.
Yeah.
The character that everyone loved now as the character everyone hates.
But when they introduce her, this lady's like...
Mrs. Deagle?
What?
I just wanted to let you know that Joe got himself another
job.
My husband, Joe Harris. And I've taken up some sewing on the side.
Mrs. Harris, what are you trying to tell me?
I'm afraid that neither one of us will be paid for 2 weeks. Couldn't you get Mr. Corbin to... Well, just give us a little more time.
Mrs. Harris, the bank and I have the same purpose in life, to make money, not to support a lot of deadbeats.
Not to support deadbeats. And the little kids even go,
Mommy, I'm hungry. Yes, honey, so am I.
And it's like, oh my God,
yeah.
Sad. I'm hungry too.
Yeah, it's like right out of Oliver or even like A Christmas Carol.
And you know, when that opening scene where they show Kingston Falls also, there's a blatant product endorsement there. Did you catch it?
Okay, blatant product endorsement. I'm trying to think. All I can think is Rockin' Ricky Rialto.
Yeah, hey, it's Rockin' Ricky. So they pan across. It's all these businesses, mom and pop places. But right in the center of it all...
Montgomery Ward.
No, Burger King.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I noticed that, and I was like, what the hell?
And it's even in an old storefront.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of weird.
And that old Burger King sign with the, like, round letters.
Yeah, like inside the hamburger or whatever. So yeah. I was like, okay, there's a blatant advertisement there. All right.
Well, at least they made their choice.
Yeah.
They're doing this movie.
But what's great about that scene is, you know, we introduce Billy. He's late to work again, and he brings his dog to work, which is kind of weird.
I always wondered why he traveled with his dog.
By the way, that dog is a great actor. He has great facial expressions, doesn't he?
Yeah, especially for... You just don't get that often with dogs in films. A lot of times it falls flat.
Because I love it. He's basically stays right there next to Billy at his feet. And he's tied up there. And when Mrs. Deagle's saying, where is your dog? He broke my snowman. And
Bavarian snowman.
I want your dog.
Barney?
Give him to me. I'll take him to the kennel. They'll put him to sleep. It'll be quick and painless compared to what I could do to him.
And it's funny when she goes, I'd like to put him in my dryer.
Maybe I'll put him in my spin dryer on high heat.
That'd do it all right.
You know, she's talking about killing him, and it's so funny, the guy behind him, he goes, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Yep, that'll do it.
He says it in a way like, wow, you are a terrible person. I'm like, yeah, that'll do it.
And what I love is when they show the dog. What is his dog's name? I can't remember.
Barney.
Barney. When he unties himself.
Yeah. Like, I am so out of here.
That was great.
But then whenever she starts threatening him, he attacks her. Like, he can totally understand that she wants to put him in a dryer.
Yeah, totally. So he's not afraid of her. But it introduces her as this evil bitch in town. And I love how she's like,
oh, I have a very weak heart. I can't stand a shot like that.
And you totally expect Billy to get fired, but he's not. And I can't remember. Do they introduce Phoebe Cates? He at least says hi to her at that point, doesn't he? Phoebe Cates' character of Kate?
Yeah, well, yeah. He does say hi to her, but it's not a a full introduction. I think we almost get more Gerald than we do.
And you know what's funny? As a kid, I had a huge crush on Phoebe Cates, but it was like a puppy dog crush.
Well, that's because
she's so pretty, you know.
She's cute.
But what's funny...
It's not that kind of, you know, that different kind of crush.
Right. It's not like Fast Times at Ridgemont High crush. This is like,
exactly.
But what's funny is now upon watching this, you get an idea of how much baggage she has, and she's a little nuts, you know?
Yeah.
Which is great. We get the foreshadowing when Billy gets home is of the sword always falling when you walk in the door.
Billy, is that you?
Yeah, Mom, it's me.
Yeah, I like that because it's so obvious.
Oh, I guess, wait, before he goes home, though, he goes to the bar. He hangs out at a bar and he draws or whatever. And we are, Judge Reinhold. There's a great part where Judge Reinhold comes to talk to him about what a loser he is. And he's like, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30 or something.
Yeah, he's like, oh, when he retires, I'll be taking over the bank.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, okay.
And it's great. There's this great line that always cracked me up where he starts hitting on Phoebe Cates, and he goes, I got my own apartment.
Hey, Kate, you haven't seen my new apartment.
I haven't seen your old apartment.
Come on, we're talking cable.
It's like, oh. But I love that he goes, we're talking cable.
That's MTV.
Yeah, so remember, they establish also that Billy is an artist, and he's drawing, like, a picture of Mrs. Deagle as a dragon.
And he's a good artist.
Yeah, he's a really good comic book artist, because in the deleted scenes, you'll also see that he had his own comic he was doing called Troll Hunter.
Troll Hunter, yeah.
Yeah, or so you almost think that him with the sword and the gremlins, kind of like a little tie-in there.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so a little foreshadowing or something there, but they cut it out. But that would have been cool. I would have thrown that in there, maybe.
There's a couple scenes in deleted scenes I'm surprised they cut out, but because it expands more on the story of the town.
Yeah, I really think that they did it for time, not that it wasn't any good. Unlike with something like Goonies, where you're like, oh, yeah, cut that out. This was kind of like, why did they cut this out? And then you realize it's because they didn't want the movie to be that long.
Well, it takes an hour to get to what everybody's waiting for.
Right.
So, yeah, I can understand why they did.
Because they've got, you know, Billy, he shows up, and his mom is there. And we see that they're a very nice family. But you automatically know that they totally just put up with their dad's invention. With the
I wouldn't be able to. The mom is such a sweetheart,
right? And so
is she. You can see that she's sad and she's
and worried and like. Remember, she goes, "Can you help me with the eggs?" And he's like, "Okay." And he kind of looks at that machine and he's like, "You know," he's thinking, "I could just do this my own, but I'll go ahead and use dad's machine.
I'll give it the benefit of the doubt this one time."
And there's this great line where the mom says,
"Dad's machines, they work so well the first couple of weeks." And
when they fail, they fail catastrophically.
Yeah. So they're kind of putting up with their dad, with Rand's dreams, but you know that they just wish he'd grow up a little.
Well, and it can't last long.
Right.
You know, you think like traveling salesman, not bringing in any money on his stuff. I mean, there's a certain depth to the depression of this family.
Right. And it's like when he shows up and you hear the sword fall, you know, the foreshadowing.
Yeah.
And he's got the present. The mom says, "How did it go?" And he goes,
"Yeah, the miracle company, the people who have the kitchen companion. They just might be interested in the bathroom, buddy."
Oh, great.
But you know it's not going to pan out.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah, she's just like, oh, okay. But she probably doesn't believe a word of it either.
It's
funny how there's just this underlying sadness in this movie.
Yeah, it really is.
And, oh, yeah, that's another thing Judge Reinhold says. They're like, man, you're practically supporting your old family with this job. And so Billy is actually supporting them with this bank job. It's just interesting.
That's the only thing. When you think about that, can you imagine doing that and having to support your father? Your father thinks he's an inventor.
Yeah.
You know, and although he may have good ideas, he's not a creator.
Yeah, you don't have the heart to tell him. Like, they show different inventions of his throughout the movie, and some of them are pretty hilarious. you know, we've got the bathroom buddy. We've got the egg thing that's supposed to, like, a chicken head comes down.
Yeah, chicken head comes down. It reminds me of the, that drinking chicken thing.
Yeah.
Like, dips down, but it violently shoots down.
And slams, and all the eggs just fall out of it. And then we also get the juicer.
Yeah.
And that weird phone thing. I'm not even sure what that does. The, you answer the phone on your walkie-talkie or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But we get introduced to Gizmo, and he's so adorable, isn't he?
Yeah, he sounds like Howie Mandel.
Yeah, he does sound just like he sounds like Bobby from Bobby's World.
He does. That's what's so funny is years later, he uses the same voice for another character.
Yeah, but I still think Gizmo is adorable the way that
he absolutely.
Looks. He first jumps up, and it's so funny, though, upon watching the movie again, how when he goes, I've got to tell you a few things.
You know, there's some things I forgot to tell you guys, and they're really important. Number one, he hates bright lights. We know that. But you got to keep him out of the sunlight. Sunlight will kill him. Number two, keep him away from water. Don't give him any water to drink. And whatever you do, don't give him a bath. And probably the most important thing, don't ever feed him after midnight.
Billy just kind of goes, okay. And he doesn't, like, go, what? Or anything. It's just like, okay.
Yeah, there's no questioning it.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good to me. And one thing that's cool also about Gizmo is that you see there's no malice in him at all. He's like this sweet creature, and he's adorable, and he sings with the keyboard, you know?
Yeah.
And
We're forgetting that before he tells him the rules, the mom tries to take a picture.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what prompts the rules.
Yeah, there's always some kind of flash of light or something that it gets him like, oh!
You gotta get a picture taken. Smile.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
No, no.
Because, you know, late, a couple of times there's some kind of light thing when he shows Gizmo what he looks like in the mirror and he falls in the trash.
You keep waiting. The tension that is built with each situation that it's you just know something's going to happen.
Right.
You're waiting for it to happen.
Bye-bye.
Like, yeah, like he's playing the song on the keyboard. Gizmo corrects him. And then he's like, he puts the little Santa hat on him and he's like, oh, wait, you want to see yourself? I mean, it flashes him with the mirror and then takes him in the bathroom.
Yeah, and when I now watching the movie, when that scene happens and he falls and he cuts his head, I'm like, you haven't even had him 24 hours. And
exactly.
He's got a cut on his head.
Yeah.
You've barely even had Gizmo and you've already heard him, dude. What the hell? It's like there's no way anybody could ever own a Mogwai.
No.
You'd have to keep them, like, in some kind of containment area where they could never get
out. Our country
out.
Would be riddled with gremlins.
Right. And we got one of our favorite actors, Bill Corey Feldman, shows up, huh?
Feld. And this had to be one of his first roles, because he's young.
Gremlins came first before Goonies.
Yeah.
But he was having a good 2 years of his career there, wasn't he? I hope that Corey Feldman cherished these times.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
What's funny about that, the moment where Pete shows up and he's friends with Billy and he admires his Hooded Menace comic.
Wow, Hooded Menace. That's your number one.
It's pretty neat, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Menace.
And he meets Gizmo and stuff. When they accidentally knock the water over on Gizmo and the little fur balls come
little
out.
Little tribbles.
They turn into those. It's funny when you first get the idea that something's off at these, because Stripe takes a bite at Pete's finger. He's like,
yeah.
Hey, look, that one's got a cute little stripe on its head.
Yeah.
So really, they're less threatening fur balls, but they're mean. You know.
I was kind of wondering, like, is Gizmo only the way he is because of his ancient Chinese guy that had him?
Like, maybe he just raised him to be nice? I don't know, or he's...
Yeah, like, are Mogwai, actually evil creatures?
Because as soon as they're born, they're really mischievous.
Yeah.
Like, instantly, and That scene always kind of makes me sad for Pete, because he immediately is deflated and he is not interested anymore when it almost bites his finger.
Isn't that incredible, Pete?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't you think this is... it's incredible.
Oh, isn't it? I'm serious.
He just doesn't want to have anything to do with them anymore. Poor little guy, huh?
I wouldn't either, son of a bitch.
It's like little bastards. Let's go stick them out in the sunlight. But I love the little Mogwai design. I think they're cool.
Yeah, what's crazy there is after they are, like, given birth to, yeah. Billy even asks, like, what's wrong, Gizmo?
Yeah, he has this look like, oh, God, kind of a...
Like, is he spent from that happening, or does he know this is not good? Has he experienced it before?
I almost get the feeling of that now, like, this is how it begins.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, crap. And even later on, you know, you see he's separate from them. He doesn't want to have anything to do with them.
Yeah.
They're all playing their little video games. And it's funny, when he goes to talk to his dad... his dad's working on his new version of the bathroom buddy that has.
Yes, it's got a razor.
Yeah, now it's got. Say you. Okay.
Now let's say you're late for the big meeting. It's really important. You're on your way in. You reach up. Oh, you forgot to shave. Now what are you going to do? Under normal circumstances, you are in trouble. But not if you have the bathroom buddy. Right? What's this? Voila. What do you think?
Yeah, that's pretty neat. What's this button on?
Oh, no, don't push that. There.
Sorry, Dad.
No, it's okay.
He's like, yeah, Dad. I love how he's like this important news, but his dad won't let him talk.
Well, it's not even that he won't let him talk. It's that he humors his dad. It's like he loves his dad so much that he just lets him finish.
Yeah.
Like, anything that he has to say is less important than humoring his father.
Yeah, totally. And he's just like, okay, Dad, show me what it is and stuff. And his dad...
What's this button?
When his dad sees the Mogwais, his immediate thing is like, everyone should have one of these. We could make millions.
What does he call them? The Peltzer Pet?
Yeah.
Think about it. The Peltzer Pet. This could really be the big one.
He always wants to put his name on everything. And that's what I think's funny. Like, the juicer has Peltzer on it. Like, he's made these mock-ups where it's something you can get for your kitchen. My favorite, though, is this hammer. It goes like this.
Yeah, like that has any force whatsoever.
Yeah, it's like a hydraulic hammer, and he also has that spinning fly swatter.
What cracks me up, though, is that hammer became a reality, you know, 20 years later. Like, have you seen that instant hammer from like Craftsman?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, there's like a hammer it's this electronic hammer that you can use in a tight spot, and it drives the nail in without you needing to like bang on it.
Nice.
So somebody saw that and went, you know what? That's actually a pretty good idea.
They just did a better implementation of it.
Yeah, it doesn't like kill you if you try to use it.
So after all these gremlins and stuff, there's another scene at the bar where they have the Mr. Futterman's drunken gremlins rant, which I thought was funny.
Gremlins. You got to watch out for the foreigners because they plant gremlins in their machinery. That's the same gremlins brought down our planes in the big one.
The big one.
That's right. World War II. Good old WWII.
I think even as a kid, we've all seen that Bugs Bunny cartoon, haven't we? Where the gremlin is in the airplane.
I don't think I ever did.
You've never seen that?
Never seen that.
They probably have it on YouTube. You should watch it where basically Bugs Bunny's on an airplane and there's this little gremlin wreaking havoc. And he's like this little mouse-looking guy, but he's got airplane wings for ears. It's really weird. And he, you know, what I always thought was funny about that cartoon is Bugs Bunny is always getting the drop on everybody. You know, he's got the, he's a smart ass and he's confident and he always outsmarts everyone. In that, the gremlin always outsmarts Bugs Bunny.
Really?
Yeah, it's
I'm going to have to watch that. I'd never seen it.
Yeah, the gremlin's a little shit, basically. So it's interesting when Futterman kind of talks about it. I think my only exposure to gremlins at the time was that cartoon, a gremlin. And I guess, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't know about it, but I guess apparently they talked about Japanese putting gremlins in your airplanes and stuff.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, Mr. Futterman's got a lot of demons.
That's why he doesn't like foreigners.
Yeah.
Goddamn foreign cars.
Put gremlins in there.
And what's funny is Billy has a nice, you know, he's like, you're so nice to him. And she's like, well, he lost his job like everyone else. He's sad. And they walk home and he starts talking about Christmas time. Like,
I always thought everyone was happy during the holidays. No matter what.
Well, most people are, but some aren't. Well, everybody else is opening up their presents. They're opening up their wrists.
Cheery thought.
It's true. The suicide rate's always the highest around the holidays.
She's like got some dark things she has to say there.
Yeah, she was like, people say if you don't like Thanksgiving, they don't give you a hard time. If you don't like Christmas, they jump on your case.
And that's foreshadowing to later on when she tells like the greatest Christmas story ever, right?
Yeah, I mean, holy shit.
Yeah. And I guess the whole, what's funny, what I like about this movie is, you know, they don't give a lot of time to characterization, but they give that little bit there. And I do think it's interesting, the little bit we get, at least.
Yeah. I think there was more there.
Okay, we know, okay, Billy, he's really going nowhere. He's supporting his whole family. He really is kind of a dreamer like his dad. He wants to be an artist, but he sees his dad as a big loser. He never says that, but I almost get the idea of that.
Absolutely.
The mom and Billy are putting up with their dad's horrible hobby that he thinks can... He goes out on the road. He leaves his family on Christmas just so... What is it? Some kind of, like, invention contest?
Yeah, it's an invention... I thought it was, like, a convention.
Yeah, he leaves his family on Christmas for that.
And apparently, Robbie the robot's an inventor.
Yeah, I love that. And you see the time machine in the background?
I didn't notice.
Oh, that's... if you go in that scene where the dad is on the phone, there's a guy sitting in the time machine in the background.
Oh, man.
And then it cuts away to the wife. When it cuts back, he's gone. And people are looking around like, where did he go? And there's like kind of like a smoke coming up. So the guy actually...
I totally missed that.
Oh, you got to go back and watch that. Just watch the background. The guy travels through time in the background.
That's hilarious.
He's sitting in the time machine. And then the next scene, he's completely gone. There's people like, where did he go? It's really,
I guess,
funny.
My eyes were so on the guy riding the weird tricycle,
yeah,
in the foreground that I just wasn't paying attention to the background.
And you know who that is who rides by in front of the screen, right?
No.
That's Steven Spielberg.
Jesus. I wasn't even...
If you watch that again, Steven Spielberg's on that bike and he rides right
like,
in front
of the
screen. Like,
who's the hippie?
Yeah, that's Spielberg. It's so funny. Oh, and also they have references to E.T. several times in the movie.
Yeah, I know that Stripe hides behind E.T. at one point.
But also on the movie marquee, it says, Watch the Skies and This Boy's Life. Both.
Yeah, Boy's Life. Wasn't that the working title for E.T.?
Yeah, both alternate titles.
Okay.
Which, by the way, in hindsight, I mean, I know it is E.T., but it seems like really weak titles.
Yeah, those are. Well, I mean, come on, Blue Harvest for Star Wars. I mean, it's always like that. It seems like the working titles are always awful.
Oh, you know what? Another moment that I always think is cool is those when the Mogwais and Stripe, he's playing that little Miss Pac-Man machine. Or is it
Yeah, the Coleco, the Mr. Arcade thing.
Yeah, I love those when I was a kid. I wanted one so bad. I had a friend who had one, but I didn't. And really, they were kind of lame.
They were very lame because they were that... they weren't even LCD. They were that backlit.
Yeah, like kind of like the football games.
Yeah, exactly.
But there was something about the... Because it was shaped like an arcade game, I wanted one.
Yeah, my friend had a Pac-Man one. Yeah. And it was terrible. And it was... The little tiny joystick was all... It just didn't feel right.
Jacked up, yeah.
I mean, they're awesome. I would kill to have them. I'm jealous... Every time I watch an Angry Video Game Nerd video and he has all of them behind him.
Yeah, what the hell?
But, you know, I would never, you know, that's just the adult in me that can now afford that, so they would he would want it.
Yeah, I always just think it's cool that they're having a blast playing that, you know.
Yeah, they're all. It's kind of like in an arcade, like how all the guys would hang around the the one friend playing the game.
And again, they establish that there's something not right with these, and they're kind of mean. Doesn't Stripe even spit at Gizmo? He's like,
he spits the craziest, yuckiest, like nastiest, like yellow viscous fluid.
Yeah,
it Gizmo. Gizmo's sitting next to Barney, and he just kind of looks up, like, "What the hell?"
Like, ugh, God. And then, you know, they basically trick Billy into feeding him after midnight with the clock or whatever. But
yeah,
I,
they don't they eat. He discovers that they ate through the plug or pulled it out of the socket or.
Yeah, yeah, he does the next day, but I can't forget about this. I love when they show Gizmo. He's watching that racing movie, first off. I guess
with Clark Gable.
He takes a certain kind of guy.
And that guy needs a certain kind of fame.
Yeah, and then later on he's watching Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And I love that where there's a scene where it's after Billy feeds the Mogwai and they show the closest of the meat and the chicken really fast. They're like, I'm not damn it. Like real close ups of their mouths. I love that.
Yeah.
It's so gross. And
you guys are really hungry.
It's so gross. They eat like pigs and they've got like the slobber and the.
Uh huh.
Ugh.
It's like, so. If they rigged it where they would eat after midnight, it's not just because they're hungry. It's like they know they can become a more powerful creature, maybe. I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you're right.
So, but what's so cute about that scene is Gizmo is really sleepy, but he can't keep from watching the TV. That's like the way the animation is done on his face. He's looking at the TV, and he's scared out of his mind, and at the same time sleepy. It's like somehow they did all of that in his face, and I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's really like, well done.
He's like, oh, oh. He's like falling asleep.
How could you know that ending to Invasion of the Body Snatchers always freaked me out? With Jesus, his name is isn't it Kevin something?
I'm not sure. I know who you're talking about though.
Yeah, he's like, don't you see? They're all just that ending is just. Classic, and the reaction, like you said, I don't know how they put so much emotion, were able to articulate that face so well. Then,
yeah, they did a great job, and I guess I can't forget about the. I think it's the night before when poor Barney goes missing, and he hears him yelping, and he's been strung up in lights.
Yeah, and the one that does it is like giggling.
Yeah, like smiling in his sleep or going to sleep. I guess, is it Stripe who does it? Or he's at least thinks it's funny.
It's so night. Maybe. I don't know. It's so dark there that I couldn't tell if it was Stripe or not.
Oh, and it's so creepy. There's one point where he goes. to the other ones and they're all listening and it's like conspiring, you know?
Yeah, they are. Well, that's whenever they start doing the yum-yum.
Yeah,
yum-yum. Yum-yum. And he goes to get them the food, and the moment he goes to get them the food, they start that conspiring.
You know, I love that. As soon as he walks out of the room, they get quiet, and they just watch him. They, like, follow him as he goes out the door, like, just looking at him. I almost think it would have been great. I want the scene where Gizmo's looking at them, and Stripe just turns and looks at him. You know, that would have been really creepy, wouldn't it? Like
that would have been like you know what's coming.
Yeah, like, and they just hate Gizmo for some reason. What's their problem?
You know, every square. Kid has a problem with their parent.
Total square, man. And then you know we get the alien egg scene in the morning.
Oh, those things are so gross.
Yeah, they did a great job of making them look gross. Oh, and we can't forget that Billy took one of the Mogwai, or he took Gizmo and then put water on him to the professor at the school.
Was that Gizmo he took?
I think so. That was Giz. Because I felt bad because wasn't he weak enough?
Not only, yeah, not only did I feel, I was like, what is he doing? He knows what happens.
And he knows
like, why would you put him through that again?
I know. Come on, Billy. Billy doesn't seem to think much. Or
it's like he has multiple Mogwai at home. Why not just take them?
Yeah, take Stripe or something, you know? But I do think it's cute when the other Mogwai is outside the box and they're tapping on it together, like going do-do-do-do-do. They can hear each
Mogwai?
Other. Mogwai? Yeah.
Mogwai.
And then they have the professor who takes his blood and everything. And I guess that Mogwai held it against him when he did that.
I would have, too. That is just kind of out of the ordinary. I mean, this guy doesn't know what the vein system is in a Mogwai. So he's just sticking that thing in a muscle and pulling blood out. I'd be pissed.
And then basically in the, you know, he has the eggs of the, I guess they're in the pupal stage. Remember that?
Yes, they're undergoing a metamorphosis.
Yeah, and Pete's there too.
Would you say this was called a putrid stage?
Pupal stage.
Like a butterfly.
Yeah, right. Right, this is a cocoon, and inside he's going through changes. Lots of changes.
Like my mother.
No, that's different. This is called a metamorphosis. It's a change in form and in appearance.
What I think is weird about all this is there's this incredible creature. I know it's just a movie, but there's this incredible creature, the gremlin. I mean, the Mogwai. And people are always like, oh, wow, that's really cool. But they don't like, oh, my God, what is that thing? You know, nobody ever freaks out and like, holy shit, I got to take
is it a, of I've never seen anything like that. Is it a monkey?
Let's call the news or something. So even when he has, I don't know about you, but if I woke up and saw those alien eggs in my room, I'd freak out and move them immediately with a shovel.
Yeah, I would probably immediately get a flamethrower.
I'd get a shovel, stick them in a wheelbarrow or something.
Yeah.
Take them outside and
bury them.
Bury them, yeah. I would definitely not keep them in my room and go to school.
It'd be like, oh, so that's what happens whenever you do that. They die and turn into gross eggs. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I know.
I do love the whole moments where the one hatches at school during this old film, science film about the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they do that, the heart on the projector on the screen, and it's like boom, 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 and then the camera like goes inside the box, you know.
Here's Mr. Bird's heart. Small animals lose heat faster than large ones, so their blood must circulate faster to keep their bodies warm. Now, in small birds, their hearts beat about 600 times per minute. Cats, 130. Man, about 75. And a big old elephant's heart, only 25 a minute.
Hey, Doc, you got a human heart?
Has he got a human heart? Wait till you see this. Roll 10.
And there's, and poor little Gizmo is hiding in that motorcycle helmet, like going,
he's shaking like crazy.
And then, oh man, I think that whole moment, I don't know what would you call it, a sequence, I guess,
yeah,
is really effective. I think it's really well done.
Well, it is, because it's just like, you're just as frightened, you know the shit's hitting the fan.
And when you see it for the first time, you don't know what the hell is going to happen. They're like, what are these things? And I would almost say at this moment, you're not sure how dark the movie's going to get yet.
Yeah, you have no clue, because at this point, it's just the professor trying to lure the gremlin out with a candy bar.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, you know, it's just afraid, it's... Who knows how ugly it is.
And what's so great about that scene is, you know, I read the novelization of Gremlins when I was a kid.
You know, and those novelizations.
Yeah, I got it at the grocery store. And I remember there was like one chapter of the book where Billy tells Pete to tell the professor, remember, never feed him after midnight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a chapter in the book. The next chapter was only two words, and it was like chapter 15, Pete forgot. And then the next page was chapter 16, you know? And I always thought that was cool how it's like one chapter can just be those two words. Wow.
Well, that's kind of cooler than him just leaving a sandwich within reach of the...
You almost get the feeling that they... not only did they not tell him about that feed after midnight, or he just didn't care. He was too tired. I don't know. We'll never know in the movie.
Well, I think he thought, well, I got it in this bird cage. I don't think it'll grab my sandwich. But why didn't he take his sandwich with him?
I know. And he's
I guess his... Pete forgot.
He took his chips, though.
Yeah, he did. Those chips are delicious.
These chips be delicious.
I'm sorry, buddy, but I'm going to take my chips.
But it was nice of the guy. It's like all of a sudden he's Billy D. Williams.
Yeah.
I got you a Colt 45.
But it's a Colt 45 with chips.
It was really nice of him to get a candy bar for it.
Yeah.
And when he said that is creepy.
I wonder if it was a baby Ruth.
In a movie, whenever somebody sticks their hand somewhere and you're not sure what's in there.
Hey, you're not still angry about that little blood test, are you? Come on out, take a bite. Let me see you. I just wanna see you. Here, you go. You try some of this. Now I know you got to be hungry.
Yum.
Hey. Yeah, now, don't you feel better, huh?
And you're like, holy shit, he's biting his hand off! And then when Billy shows up, he's got the hypodermic needle in his butt.
Yeah, what I always wondered there was he dead?
Yeah.
We don't see how the death was. I mean, a hypodermic in your ass isn't going to kill you.
The movie does a great job of never showing us the consequences a lot of times of what exactly happens to these people. We assume they die. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I assume Mrs. Deagle is dead. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. When you get launched out the window,
You assume the Futtermans are, but you can't be sure. They cut away, so...
And they cut the most gruesome reveal out. With the bank manager.
Right. That's true.
Because in that one, you actually see him impaled on his nameplate.
Yeah, and it's like, it looks like his head is smashed with a clock or something.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you're right.
So they're definitely killing people. So maybe it bit his hand off or his fingers. I don't know. And he's bleeding to death. I don't know. It did
maybe he put some chemical in the syringe and injected it.
Or an air bubble, and it went right to his heart.
Did
you ever hear that when you were a kid? Like, yeah, if you get a needle and you just inject air, it sends an air bubble to your heart. You die.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, man.
I remember I would hear that, and every time I'd get a shot for something, I'd be like, is there an air bubble in there?
Air bubble! So when Billy shows up and he finds the professor dead, I love how, they show the gremlin. He goes into, like, an air duct. And it never makes any sense, but it's hilarious when he's been scratched on the hand, and he goes to the first aid room, and the gremlin pops out of the cabinet. Like, how did he get there?
That's one hell of a reveal, though. That's the first we ever see of it.
Yeah, and it's like, whoa, what the hell?
That thing is ugly.
And I love how they establish how fast it is, because it jumps down, and you hear a crash, and he's made a hole right in the door, like in the grating.
Yeah.
And
and he even made the hole in that... the ventilation whenever he escapes the classroom.
Their claws are supposedly really sharp, as we know that. And I love whenever they have the pitter-patter of their feet, like that. I always think that's cool.
Oh, like the nails on the hard surface?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he calls his mom to tell her to get out. And I love that when... I swear, does the gremlin... Maybe this is another E.T. reference that I forgot about, but when the gremlin pulls the phone cable, does he go,
Mom?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because I'm like, what's with all the E.T. references in this movie?
I guess maybe just Spielberg's ass.
Yeah, it's like Joe Donnie's like, hey, man, this is my first big studio thing. I'm going to kiss this guy's ass. I'm going to put him in a cameo in the movie.
Who's that hippie on a bike? Yeah, and this part to me, this is the first time I really kind of noticed it, but the mom all of a sudden looks like Ripley from Alien.
All I know is this, the mom kicks ass.
But yeah, I mean, how did she keep her composure?
Whenever they do, you know how sometimes they do lists of, like, most badass women in cinema? They need to include the mom from Gremlins in this. Because she kicks them out. She takes three of them out really fast.
Well, it seems like maybe all of her pent-up rage and sadness is unleashed upon the gremlins.
You know when they do the, do you hear what I hear?
Said the night wind to the little lamb.
I can never hear that song the same way again.
It's so cool how she goes down and then she takes the music off and they put it back on. But when she sees the one gremlin, you know, you have the reveal. He's like eating the cookies. But then
yum, yum.
And then he smells her and he kind of stops and he sniffs in the air. And when he goes back, he climbs inside the... She turns it on and you see the...
Like a food processor?
Yeah, and the green blood is going everywhere. I love that. And then the other one's storm plates and she uses the tray as a shield. But I love how she's got a butcher knife and she basically just runs... She goes up to it and stabs it to death.
Get out of my kitchen!
And he's like... You see the gremlins even like... Ah! You know, she's just like stabbing it to death, and she's got a lot of anger too, doesn't she?
Yeah, a ton of it.
And first of all, that scene, I'm like, oh man. And then they top that. The greatest scene ever, the gremlin in the microwave.
She sprays it in the face with like an oven cleaner and then puts it in the microwave and turns it on.
And I love how she just sits there watching it, and he's kind of like, ah, and you hear. It just goes all over the front.
Splatters.
Is that not like the coolest effect ever?
It's gross as hell.
But when you're first watching this movie and you see that scene and it's kind of scary all of a sudden and now it's gross and it's just like, holy shit, what have I gotten myself into?
But then she goes super hardcore and dual wields the knives.
Yeah, she grabs a knife, like that.
Yeah.
And she kind of looks back and you're like, whoa, she just took out three of them just like they're nothing. She's totally going to kick some ass now. Except she goes for the stocking, which has a robot in it, which I'm pretty sure I had one of those as a kid.
The legs spin around or the body spins around.
Yeah, useless, annoying toy, right?
Yeah. Well, I always wanted the one, and you see it at some point during the final showdown in Montgomery Ward, where it's like a silver one, and it kind of breathes like a smoke, or it blows out like a smoke.
Yeah, I remember.
I always thought that was so cool for some reason.
The chest opens up and guns come out.
Oh, it has baby arms.
I can't forget about one of my favorite scenes also because it's so mean is when they're throwing darts at Gizmo.
Yeah, what? Poor Gizmo is just tortured. You know, by the end of it, once the Chinese guy shows up, he's just like, ugh. Get me out of this craziness. Like,
even Billy, who loves him, still manages to hurt him. So he's a fragile little guy. But, and then, you know, we've got all the sword things in the movie up until now where it keeps falling whenever you walk in the door. So when Billy comes home and he's got the gremlin on his mom's back.
This is probably one of the scariest reveals whenever I first saw it was that the glowing red eyes in the Christmas tree. And then it starts strangling her.
Yeah. And it's already scratched up her face. Like got three claw scratches there, and luckily
Spike is in Gizmo's box laughing.
You know, I never noticed that until today when I rewatch it, that he's hiding in Gizmo's box.
Yeah,
and he kind of like is watching, like he's getting being entertained by it all.
It's like he really doesn't care that all his brothers, his you know accomplices, are just getting taken out one by one. He'd rather just sit in the box and giggle.
Yeah, I think he's like, I'll make more.
Yeah,
But I love when Billy chops his head off, and you hear in the several times in the movie, there's a weird cat yelping sound, like, you know?
Yeah.
And the head is in the fireplace, like.
It's like it's melting and screaming and just disgusting.
And I love when he sees Stripe and Stripe bursts out the window. You hear that again. And I think everybody who's seen this movie thinks the same thing, is that, wait, snow, it's water. You know, is that going to turn?
Holy shit, you're right.
But
if they have any type of body heat.
Yeah, but
the moment that shit melts, yeah.
I was actually thinking this, like, if I put my hand in snow and hold it just a few seconds, it'll start turning into water. But I'm thinking,
I guess
okay,
it's just a slight plot hole.
The gremlins are cold blooded, and the snow just stays snow around them. That's got to be what it is, because they look reptilian, don't they?
They do, but still, if you're cold blooded in the cold, that kind of would probably shut your body down.
Right. So I guess we should analyze this. But I do love that scene at the YMCA, though.
Yeah, of all the places to go, the moment you see that him and Barney are coming up on the Kingston Falls YMCA, you're just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you think indoor pool.
Yep.
And I love that scene where he does the little jump and he... Is he holding his nose when he goes in the water, too?
I didn't notice.
I think Stripe's holding his nose as he goes in the water, and it starts bubbling, and you're like, oh, shit. And I believe you hear the sound. Whatever.
And the way it starts bubbling and fizzing and foaming. And
I love that. It's that cool animation they do on the walls of millions of gremlins or something. It's like... cool shadows and stuff.
Yeah, it's like red and green shadows, and
I love that he goes straight to the cops, but since it's Christmas, they're getting sauced.
Are they sauced, or are they just assholes?
Oh, they're doing some drinking. I know that.
Little monsters.
Right.
Hundreds of them.
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe thousands.
Wow.
Look, I know it sounds crazy. I know it does. But in a matter of hours, this town is going to be turned into a major disaster area. Now you have got to warn people.
You think this kid is drunk, Brent?
No, you are, huh?
I am not drunk.
Tell me something, Billy. Listen up. Where do these little gremlins come from, huh?
All right. My father gave me one as a present.
A present? Did your father always give you vicious little monsters for a present?
No, no, they don't start out vicious at first.
Oh, of course not.
They don't. They look like this. Could you dim the lights in here, please?
Well, and I know the one guy is the guy that plays someone bad and everything.
Yeah, he's a guy from Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has some great... He has one great line in the here that always cracks me up, but... Yeah, but there's a great line where, you know, Billy's trying to tell them all about the gremlins or whatever. And, you know, they're Mogwai, but they don't start out mean and all this. And he goes,
be careful, Frank. You might tear your arm off. You want me to put the cuffs on him?
He's just being a sarcastic asshole. And while Billy's there at the police station trying to warn them that hell's about to break loose, poor Mr. Futterman and his sweet wife. Is his wife sweet?
Just such a sweetheart.
Putting up with this drunken husband who all he does is...
racist asshole.
Blaming her for the TV messing up. But there's that great line where the TV starts messing up because...
I told you we should have got a Zenith.
I love that one.
I think that's all that my family ever owned was Zenith TV. Zenith and Panasonic.
Or Curtis Mathis. Whatever happened to those?
Oh, yeah, Curtis Mathis. We used to go there to rent videos.
Yeah, VHS. My uncle used to do that, too. I'd go with him. We'd pick out movies. Curtis Mathis.
They always had the worst selection, though.
Yeah. I remember we went there and rented Risky Business.
Nice.
And then as I was watching it, I don't think I'm supposed to be watching this movie. I think it's rated R or something. But that's...
He wasn't the creepy uncle, was he?
No. Scary uncle. He's one of those uncles that just let us watch whatever he wanted. So
all right.
That was always good. So when the tractor goes after Mr. Futterman. What's funny is it's played for laughs. They have the great Gremlins music for the first time.
And it's full blast.
And what's weird is I've always listened closely, and it sounds like Mr. Futterman says, "There's a real gremlin in my cab." But it sounds like it does. I'm not sure if it's his wife or another gremlin says it at the same time. "There's a real gremlin in my cab." Like, it gets real high.
"There's a real gremlin in my cab."
It sounds weird. Have you ever noticed that?
No, I just noticed him saying it.
Listen closely at that scene. It sounds like somebody else is saying it at the same time as him. And his wife is even going, "You're crazy, but there's a friggin' snowplow right there in front of her. Why is she telling
him?" Ready to plow them both into a wall.
And I don't know if they're dead or not, because they live for the other movie, but you see a sudden jolt as the gremlin's driving it, like they slam into him, don't they?
Yeah, well, I guess now that I think about it, there's the shot of the gremlins causing havoc all over town, and then they go to the police station, and this chief takes the phone call and then goes, "The Futtermans had a snowplow accident." So I guess that's saying that they're still alive if you have an accident.
And you could call it in or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Who called it in?
And then,
so, yeah, maybe.
They have the great Mrs. Deagle scene where she's got all of her cats.
Yeah, she's one of the annoying, lonely cat ladies. And I think one of them's named Dollar Bill.
Yeah. You know, I knew one's Kopeck or something, but apparently they're all named after money.
Okay.
Is what I read. I didn't catch on to that, but I knew one. You know, when you see the one named Dollar Bill, it's funny. And they're all fighting. And
I always think of Dollar Bill the dog from Richie Rich.
Yeah. But you see, she's just a sad cat lady,
yeah,
in this giant house. And
lonely and evil.
I think it's funny when she hears caroling, the first thing she thinks is to throw water on them. "Those carolers are back."
And isn't that from a scene that was deleted?
There is a deleted scene where they show carolers and then Stripe kind of sticks his head up from the snow and sees them. And, like, he sees what they're doing. It's almost like that's where he gets the idea or something.
Okay.
Because this is when the movie starts getting a little crazy, because all of a sudden the gremlins have little outfits on. They have earmuffs and hats, and they have mittens on, and they have even books to read, you know, the songs.
You know what? They must have taken them off of the carolers.
Yeah, that's where they had got them, because when you watch the movie now, it's just like, okay, where do they get all these outfits? But no, that's beside the point. We don't need to know that, right?
No. It's not important. They're gremlins.
Because it's funny when she opens the door and they're all going, "La, la, la." They're not even singing anything.
No.
She's like, "Oh, God, they're coming after me." And
eventually it turns into the gremlin theme.
Yeah.
"La, la, 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 la."
"Oh, what are they? What are they? Oh, shit. They're here. Oh, they've come for me. They've come."
And they showed one working on one of those weird chair things. The chairlift. I only see those in movies. I've never actually seen one, but it lifts you.
I was going to get one for my dad.
So they really make those?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, for anybody that can't get around that well, but I've never seen one. I only ever see them in movies on those huge staircases.
Right, those big kind of like spiral.
Yeah, like huge winding staircases.
You know, if there was one, I would totally use that, even if I wouldn't have to.
I think I would have to.
It'd be fun.
Even if I could go down the stairs on my own faster.
Uh-huh.
I mean, come on. You've got an indoor slow roller coaster.
But that's why I love that when it launches her out the window. It always focuses on that picture of that black and white picture of a guy smiling, and I always
and staring
weird.
At her,
yeah.
Because his eyes are shifted.
And I never understood who that was or a reference to somebody, but it's some old actor, and I don't get what the joke is, but I've always wondered.
Maybe you should tweet Joe Dante.
Yeah, like, what was that joke? I guess maybe I could watch the commentary again, because I have watched
that's
it before.
True.
I just don't remember it. But what
I just remembered Dick Miller getting shut down on the commentary.
No, it's Zach Galligan.
Oh, it's Zach. Okay.
Where he's talking about, oh, this was really interesting, and Joe Dante goes, nobody's going to find that interesting or something like that. He just, like, nobody wants to hear this. But when she flies overhead over the cops, and they're like,
my God, Fry, that was Mrs. Deagle.
The guy comes out, and he's got the gremlins all over him, Santa, and he goes,
Jesus, Frank, that's Dave Myers. He does Santa every year. What is he doing now?
Yeah, he does Santa every year. What's he doing now? Because he's like, oh, help me, help me. And there's a gremlin on his back, like, at the window.
I always thought the Mrs. Deagle shot kind of reminded me of the shot from Wizard of Oz whenever the house and the lands on the witch and her
sticking out. I'm right there with you. I get a Wizard of Oz feeling there, like a wicked witch kind of. And I guess she is kind of a wicked witch, but just something about the way she's in the chair and launched out, it reminds me of the Wizard of Oz for some reason.
Yeah. And the other thing is, it's such a sad, well, I hate to say satisfying death.
Right.
But she, like, as she's running away from him before she gets in the chair, she's like,
oh, I'm not ready. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready.
I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
She's, like, clenching her chest.
Yeah. I'm not ready. It's she's like, really
dramatic. She had a horrific death.
Yeah, she did.
She was based. If she wasn't scared to death before the impact.
Yeah. And another thing is, like, she was terrorizing the entire town before
yeah,
the gremlins.
Yeah. Well, and we find out later in the deleted scenes that she's the reason why people are losing their jobs and that they're closing on houses because
oh,
she
yeah.
wants to, like, plow the town over and put a chemical company in there.
That's right. She closed down the noodle factory.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Futterman's wife is like, oh, when's the noodle, you know, when the noodle factory comes back? And he goes, honey, they're not coming back. You know, he goes, this noodle worker's out of work or something.
Noodle worker's out
it's like,
work.
I don't know what, he probably drove a forklift or something, but she pretty much single-handedly ruined the town.
Yeah. Her greedy bitch. She deserved to get launched out a window.
One of my favorite things in the movie is the return of Rockin' Ricky on the radio.
You're on with Rockin' Ricky. Go!
Hi, Rockin' Ricky. My name's Pete. There's these little gringos with big teeth running around town. Ricky.
Hey, kids, this is Christmas, not Halloween. Listen, gang, Rockin' Ricky's getting fed up with all this Orson Welles crap, so cool it, will ya? What's that? Kenny, what's that back there? Some of Rockin' Ricky fans? Hey, you're not Rockin' Ricky fans.
It's just hilarious.
Yeah, and there's a point where he comes back at the end. He's like, I'm not getting chased out of town.
Yeah, Rockin' Ricky, he survived the night. Rockin' Ricky Rialto.
Hey, gang, it's been a rough night for Rockin' Ricky, but he's still on the air.
But I think
in his Indiana Jones garb.
Yeah, I love that. It's the same R, the same kind of like burn hue or something on
yeah.
the letters, the same font. But we get the whole bar scene.
Which is just so batshit insane.
It really is. And there's
so many references that I had no idea what half of them were.
It's like insanity, just completely insanity. And, you know, I didn't even, you know, there's a Flashdance sequence.
Yes, there is.
And I didn't even realize, you know, they do a spoof of the Maniac song. But on the end credits, Michael Cimbello did the Gremlins song. He spoofed his own song, basically. Maybe
yeah,
it,
yeah.
Which I thought was funny. I had no idea.
The thing that confused me the most about that scene is Stripe's friend is like, is it a female gremlin?
No, it's got lipstick on and a wig.
Yeah, or is it a gremlin in drag?
I think it's a gremlin in drag. They're just
yeah,
insane.
Because they're not. I don't think they're sexual creatures because they don't spawn
right
in that way.
So they're just insane, I guess, because I love when the different ones keep, like, there's the weird, like, cool cat sitting there with a cigarette. And
yes, the lonely.
Yeah. And it's like this bluesy music, and all of a sudden this puppet's like... And he's just looking at it like, what the hell? And then,
I was trying to figure out if that was a reference to something.
I don't know, but
I was just like, this makes no sense.
I love that he's just sitting there looking at it, and then he pulls out a mallet and hits it over the head.
Yeah, and Stripe shoots one of the gremlins for cheating.
Right, you just blast them.
I don't know where they got that tiny revolver from.
Yeah. And they all have props now in the movie, which is funny.
Yeah.
Like, remember the one he's got, he flashes Phoebe Cates. He's like, ah, and he pulls his trench coat open, and they're all smoking cigarettes, drinking beer, having a great time.
Getting super drunk.
Yeah, it's just, they went insane on this. And I think in the magazine I had, the old Gremlins movie magazine, I think they made a list of everyone come up with ideas of what they should be doing, and they picked the best ones because they are like all different random gremlins are doing different things and acting crazy.
Well, and it tops it off as once she finally tries to make her escape with the camera,
uh-huh.
She starts flashing with the bright light. Just as she's going out the door, a thug gremlin in a
ski mask
and a pistol.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what? I felt like I was going mad.
I know. And I've always laughed at the one that's on the fan. She turns it on high and he's going...
Him.
And they show a gremlin watching him and kind of going back and forth with his head, and then he goes woo as he's like flies off into the the beer sign or whatever. But I always laugh at the gremlin kind of going back and forth watching him, like whoa, whoa, whoa. It's really funny.
It's so crazy.
Just the movie's gone totally off the rails at this point where it's like,
yeah, at this point it's like you don't know if it could get any crazier.
Yeah, and it's just insane fun. I like that they just were doing whatever idea they could think of that was crazy. And you got to think, this movie is really fast-paced. Like, the way everything's just happening and going crazy and people in outside. And, you know, there's a... When Billy shows up and he saves Phoebe Cates, right, as she's about to get killed.
Uh-huh.
Shot by a gremlin.
Shot by a thug.
I love that you can see in a window a shadow upstairs of, like, a gremlin on someone's back as they're, like, jumping around and stuff. It's really cool how they have people in different spots in the shot, like, being attacked by gremlins.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
There's so much I didn't notice. There's so much going on.
Yeah, there really is.
You miss things in the background.
It's really like if you look upstairs, it's only in silhouette, but there you can see a person has a gremlin on his back because you see the ears, and they're kind of like trying to get it off of them. And
that's so cool.
It's really cool. And this is where Billy's damn foreign car fails on him, and they have to go make a run for it. But here's what the bank scene, I think, is really interesting because everything dies down for a bit there, you know,
mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of intercutting between Billy and then it goes back to his dad, which I think is kind of weird in a way when I watch it now. Like, why do they keep cutting back to the dad? Because
it's that scene. Isn't he still in the convention and he's sitting in the booth and Robbie the Robot's talking to someone making a deal?
Yeah, he's like on the phone and I believe it's references to Forbidden Planet.
Pardon me, sir. Stuff? Thick and heavy? Would 60 gallons be sufficient? I rarely use it myself, sir. It promotes rust.
Because you see the phone is like sticking to his bubble, you know?
The dome, yeah.
Yeah. And then later on, they have the weird scene where he goes to a gas station and he's got... Why does he have the dog with him?
What? Yeah, that's never explained.
He takes Barney with him.
Billy, I'm gonna take Barney to your grandmother's. No, you take him there on the way to the convention. Christmas Eve, I'll pick him up on the way home. He'll be here for Christmas. It's gonna be all right.
Oh, because they thought it was what's-her-name who strung up Barney.
Yeah, they thought Mrs. Deagle was trying to kill him, so maybe it'd be good if he took him with him. That's what it is. But it is kind of
never
weird.
Explained.
Yeah, it isn't. We just have to put that together ourselves. Yeah. And it's like, sir, I couldn't help but notice you're a smoker. And I love the guy's got all these mountain of butts on his, you know, his ashtray. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I maybe have something you may be interested in.
I'd say I noticed that you're a smoker here. Mm-hmm. I see the cigarettes. I noticed here this broken ashtray.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's very fortunate that I happen to come by right now. Let me introduce myself. My name's Randall Peltzer. I'm an inventor. Fantastic ideas for a fantastic world. I make the illogical logical, and I have something here that I think you might be interested in.
Oh?
Yes, sir, I do. This is the Peltzer Smokeless Ashtray. I think this can solve your problem here, sir.
Mm-hmm. And as he's leaving, he's like, oh, don't worry about the smoke.
Yeah, I love when he's leaving, the guy's like, oh. It's like all the smoke just pouring out of it.
Don't worry about that smoke. Stop. It's guaranteed.
Why don't you?
It's actually the ashtray's creating more smoke.
Yeah, it's just like billowing out of it. It's like gonna kill the guy rapidly. It's so funny. But when they're in the bank and
the only thing that could have made that better is if the guy threw the ashtray at
yeah,
him.
But he like keeps it. And then they come back to that joke later at the end of the movie, which is funny. But when Phoebe Cates starts talking about why she hates Christmas and this horrible story of her dad dressing up as Santa and wanting to surprise them by climbing down the chimney.
It was Christmas Eve. I was 9 years old. Me and Mom were decorating the tree, waiting for Dad to come home from work. A couple hours went by. Dad wasn't home. Mom called the office. No answer. Christmas Day came and went, and still nothing. So the police began a search. 4 or 5 days went by. Neither one of us could eat or sleep. Everything was falling apart. It was snowing outside. The house was freezing, so I went to try to light up the fire, and that's when I noticed the smell. Firemen came and broke through the chimney top, and me and Mom were expecting them to pull out a dead cat or a bird, and instead they pulled out my father. He was dressed in a Santa Claus suit.
Yeah, Gizmo's shocked.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's that's like the most horrible story I've ever heard.
I love that Gizmo can understand English.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's so funny because they make a big joke out of that in the sequel. And that part actually is funny, how they make fun of that. Do you remember that in Gremlins 2? Like,
yeah, I do.
What, she hates Lincoln's birthday or something? Something horrible happened on Lincoln's birthday. I can't remember, but it's funny.
Something all bad happens on every holiday for her.
Right. And this, in the deleted scenes, they show the fate of Judge Reinhold's character.
Yes. And he goes batshit insane in a vault.
Right. He won't come out of the vault, and the bank manager's been killed by the Gremlins.
He's been stabbed with his own nameplate, and a clock has been dropped on his head.
Yeah, it's kind of gruesome, and I can understand if they cut that out, but maybe the Judge Ryan. I guess it's not necessary, but I did wonder what happened to his character.
Sure, and I'm sure they cut out the part of that scene just to hold the rating, because didn't it get a PG rating, and then there was a whole big controversy over it?
Yeah, I've even heard that this is one of the movies that sparked PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
I always heard it was Red Dawn that caused it, but Maybe it was several movies. They were just pushing the boundaries. You know?
I think it also involved Temple Doom.
Right, yeah, because that gets pretty gruesome, too. Like, you're like, hey, should kids be watching this?
Again, another movie that scared the living shit out of me as a kid. Mola Ram ripping hearts out of people's chests.
I mean, I kind of like that they were pushing the envelope there, but, yeah, they did probably disturb many a child.
It's a disturbing film. And I mean that as in Gremlins at times.
Yeah. Like, I do love the whole Snow White sequence. Just the batshit.
Another batshit insane is part of the film, yeah.
Because if you look through the crowd, you see all these random different gremlins, some with... I love the one with popcorn bags on his ears.
Yeah, there's one from a... it's a silhouette shot from the back of the theater, and one has Mickey Mouse ears on.
Right. And there's a couple that have the popcorn bucket on their head.
Yeah, with the eyes cut out.
that's
my favorite.
Yeah, and later
because once they're discovered, once the real four of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs ends, they see the Billy and Kate through the screen and they start chasing them. There's a couple of them that have the buckets on their heads.
Yeah, I love that too. By the way, the animation of them coming towards the screen of all thousands of gremlins coming. Or hundreds. I don't even know how many there are, really. There's a lot of them. But
we're totally skipping the that Gizmo starts singing along also.
Yeah, I love it. She goes, what are they doing?
We're watching Snow White. And they love it.
And, Stripe gets up and leaves. As he leaves, the one gremlin goes, milk duds.
Yeah.
So you tell Stripe to go get milk duds. Milk duds.
It's the one female companion he has. Or the,
oh, I wasn't even sure.
The cross-dressing companion.
The cross-dressing gremlin.
But it's also like when he goes across the street to get more candy, he's like, yum, yum. I love the seven dwarfs are going, hi ho. I love the one gremlin, the close up, he goes, hi ho. It's like so creepy, but it's awesome.
It's so strange and hilarious.
It really is.
It makes me wonder if this was totally scripted or if they had a basic script and just let Joe Dante go insane.
It's like they were just coming up with as many gags as they could, you know?
Because I suppose they had to do all of this after, you know, they probably shot the actors and any scenes they had to with the animatronics.
Right.
And then after they did the principal photography, they probably went and just went absolutely insane shooting these scenes with the gremlins.
Yeah, the movie scene. Because even when, you know, Billy comes up with the idea of going to the boiler and letting gas loose and setting it on fire. When the place is blowing up, there's a quick cut of a gremlin. He looks like he has a chainsaw, right? And he has got like a doctor's mask.
Yeah.
And he's like going, like that. And it's so funny. It's just like a really quick, and you're like, what the hell was that?
Well, apparently, you know, they like to put on a show when they go to the cinema.
They love their little costumes and stuff.
And I mean, it's only slightly disturbing that he just blew up the theater with all of the gremlins inside of it.
Yeah, he just said he killed them all. It was actually a good idea. He got rid of
excellent all idea.
But unfortunately, Stripe had gotten in the store. And you know what? The movie
Stripe
does,
was stealing candy in Montgomery Ward.
What's kind of sad about that scene when they all blow up is how quickly the gremlins came and went in a way. All the insanity. They had the bar sequence and then this, and then it's over. And now
it does feel, now that you're saying that, it does feel a little quick in like, well, how are we going to wrap this up?
Yeah.
There's so many of them. They can't kill them individually. Well, let's just, you know,
blow them all up at once.
Let's do the Xenu thing and put all of them in a theater.
Yeah. He just, Billy just audited them.
you've been audited.
But the, I love the, there's some, a brutality to the whole Stripe thing in the, is it a Woolworths or something?
Yeah, it's Montgomery Ward, yeah.
Montgomery Ward. The, there's like, I mean, not a, when he gets shot with like the baseball, or is that like a tennis ball or something? I think
no, a that's a baseball, because that sucker comes out and hits hard.
Yeah. Right into his back, and then you're like, damn. And then he gets shot with a friggin' crossbow in the arm.
A mini crossbow.
Yeah, it's like right into his arm. And I mean, Stripe is trying to kill Billy.
Yeah, Stripe wants to kill him.
He's trying to murder Billy, because then he goes for a face shot, but he picks up the boombox. But it's what I think is funny is really Gizmo has had nothing to do in the movie up until now, really.
He's no, kinda, this is Gizmo's...
There's a lot of scenes where he's in the backpack with pencils and paper, you know?
This is the scene that became kind of the iconic image of Gizmo.
Right, in the pink Barbie Corvette.
The Barbie dream car.
Yeah.
And I always thought, like, wait, the Barbie dream car wasn't motorized.
Yeah, it wasn't a one-seater either. Why is the steering wheel in the middle?
Yeah, where the hell did he get a motorized dream car?
Like, we're not supposed to think about that. But it is cool how, like, when he's driving, he's imagining back to that movie. Like, he hears the voiceover.
Certain kind of gun.
And that gun needs a certain kind of thing.
It's a really good line how he's...
And like, it makes those sounds whenever it pulls out.
Yeah.
It's like the screeching tires, the revving engine. And you can't... I mean, maybe he's hearing it in his head.
Yeah, he's daydreaming. He's a dreamer, just like Billy, I guess.
He really is.
But then you've got, like, Stripe and the chainsaw also. Like...
Yeah, well, I love how he rides through there on the skateboard loaded with candy.
Yeah.
He's like, I got my candy, I got my skateboard, I'm out of here.
And then he's on the tricycle later. Like,
yes, he's on the tricycle. Like,
and then, remember, he throws the buzz saws at Billy? Like, zoom.
Holy shit, yeah, and then it's like, it shows chainsaw blades on sale.
Like, oh shit. And then, you know, they... The dad is coming back into town now. He missed everything. And really what's funny about all this is he's caused everything by
Bruce. Oh, yeah.
But he misses all of it. Because even when he sees Stripe, he's like, what the hell is that? But I love the part when Stripe sees the gun and he's like, gun.
But I think she gets the light on and he gets dragged across the floor by the chainsaw.
Yeah.
And then,
which is, like, I always think that's a cool scene when he's
and he sees the when she turns the light on, she accidentally turns on the fountain,
right?
And he's like, water.
Yeah. Oh, he goes, glub, glub. It's awesome, because so you're like, oh, it's all gonna start again, we're gonna have more insanity. But I love that he's got the gun. He's standing there. He could have already jumped in and started creating more gremlins right away. But instead, he's waiting for Billy. And he goes, Billy. And he turns and he takes a shot at him. Like, he's waiting to...
It's so creepy because the way Stripe says Billy is the way my nephew Xavier says my name.
So he's,
Billy.
He's waiting to gun Billy down before he starts...
Well, he's psychotic. He's like, I want you to see this.
I still think, you know, it's really cool when Barney comes in and Gizmo rides by him like, woo, honk, honk, or he honks at him or something.
Barney's like, what the hell?
And then he does that jump and then he pulls the blinds. But I still think it's disgusting how Stripe looks being melted by the sunlight. It looks totally gross.
You know, I almost thought it was kind of an homage to Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because it gets, like, that viscousy melting.
Uh-huh.
And it's it, you almost feel bad for him. Like, man, that's got to really suck.
That's a bad way to go. And they even do the second scare where he falls in the water and Billy goes over there and he comes out one more time.
Yeah, his skeleton shoots out and then melts and bubbles.
Yeah, they
and
do
Barney
that.
And Barney looks at it like, what the hell?
Yeah, they do the weird bubble and they do again that weird... that weird cat moan sound.
You can't help but think, like, if it's bubbling like that, is it still alive? Like,
yeah,
can it reconstitute?
And it's like the T-1000 or something. It's so odd. Where did the gremlins come from? I don't know.
And it does kind of melt. The other thing that kind of made me think is when it was melting was the Evil Dead, when, like, the Deadite
right.
melts.
Yeah,
that
totally.
Kind of.
It is a cool effect. That's one thing I did say about Gremlins. 1984, I thought this movie had really awesome effects.
And they put a shitload of work into it.
Animatronics. There's, like, one obvious matte painting, and it's at the end. As the Chinese guy's walking away, but it's still cool looking.
You know, but it's, yeah, and they even, like, they made the lights blink on the homes and everything.
There's something about matte paintings back then in the 80s. I thought they looked beautiful. They were awesome looking, you know?
Well, there's a ton of work that went into them.
Yeah. But when
it's an art form that's been lost in the digital age.
When I watched that scene at the end where, you know, everything's back to normal and they've got Gizmo and the mom's thinking about giving him chicken soup. When the Chinese man comes back and, you know, he gives the dad a hard time because, like, he gives him his money back. And
when she says chicken soup, I'm like, oh shit, is it after midnight?
Is it water based?
Is it water based? Oh my god.
Like, you're about to keep making the same mistakes. Damn it. And then he, you know, he's like, you're not ready. And he goes, he wishes to say something to you, and he's like, bye, Billy.
Yeah, it's so cute.
Do you ever notice in that scene, Billy never says a word. He just kind of stares dumbfounded, and he doesn't say goodbye or anything.
I think he's still in shock.
I think he is, because he's just kind of like staring ahead. And for the one thing he says, he goes, Dad, because he doesn't want him to take Gizmo, and there's nothing he can do about it, but... I love that before he leaves, before you go, I wanted to show you something. It's the
You look like a smoker.
It's the Ranch, the Peltzer smokeless ashtray. And he goes, ah, yes, I've seen this. Oh, wait, doesn't even go, I know what this is. It's the smokeless ashtray.
He goes, yeah, he already knows what it is because the gas station guy tried to sell it to him.
Yeah.
Before you go, I wanted to tell you that I am truly sorry for what's happened. And if you would accept it, I'd like to give you this small token. This is the only one. There's one other one, but this is an invention of mine.
Smokeless ashtray.
How did you know that?
Man at gas station tried to sell me. Latest word in technology. Very generous of you. I'm sure it will come in handy.
And I love that he takes it. He's like, thank you, and he takes it with him.
And it's much appreciated. And then as he's leaving, he goes, bye-bye, wolf.
Yeah,
to Barney.
Aww.
But there's a little thing while they're watching TV in the background, and after the Chinese guy shows up, they're talking about the hysteria and the riot of Kensington Falls, and then they mention that the people saw little green men.
Yeah, he goes.
So it sounds like an alien invasion.
Yeah, he's like
conflicting eyewitness reports concerning little green men.
And he goes. When the Chinese guy first says something, I think he's going to say something about the gremlins, but he goes...
You teach him to watch television. Hi-ya.
It's like, that will rot your brain.
But apparently, it says on IMDb, if you listen closely, that you hear something about the Futtermans on that same broadcast.
Okay, I'm going to have
like,
to look.
It's in the background as the scene is going on, but I definitely didn't notice. Never noticed.
Futtermans are dead.
But the sweet couple, I hope he gets into AA and everything gets better for him.
damn foreigners make him drink.
But then the movie wraps up with do you ever, like, when you see a movie and narration only happens at the beginning, when it returns at the end, sometimes it's kind of like, Oh, wait. What's the narration coming from?
Well, that's a story.
It's a little off-putting to be like, so that's my story.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, we just kind of watched it. Why are you telling me that?
And it's like, oh, I forgot you were the voice of the movie. You know, you were gone the whole time.
You were non-existent. How do you know the story if you weren't there?
The dad was gone the whole time.
So is he he's repeating a story that was told to him.
But I love that, you know, he does the AC's on the fritz or something.
So your washing machine blows up or your video recorder conks out. Before you call the repairman, turn on all the lights, check all the closets and cupboards, look under all the beds, because you never can tell. There just might be a gremlin in your house.
So as a kid, when you see that, you're like, oh, shit.
Well, that's like, it's such a weird way to wrap it up, because you're like, okay, so I have a gremlin in my house. My appliances not operating are not what concerns me. The fact that it probably wants to kill me.
It wants to jump on my back and scratch me in the face and laugh and put on outfits and stuff.
Yes, it wants to be my girlfriend.
Yeah, wear lipstick.
If you go to bed and there's a green drag queen in your bed, you might have a gremlin.
But I do love the end credit music. It's more of that gremlin's... that whole thing. And then if you
Is that Jerry Goldsmith?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's another iconic score.
Right.
That the moment you hear, you know.
Yeah, totally. All the movies that we've done so far all have great scores, great soundtracks. And if you wait till the very end of the credits, Bill, I don't know, do you ever do it?
No.
If you wait till the very end credits, you hear Gremlin laughing at the end, like, like at the very end, like a whole group of them laughing.
Uh-oh.
Kind of funny. Like they waited till the end of the movie or something. And
that was the crew that got out of town while they could.
Yeah, I always think like this, but what if one gremlin didn't go with them to the movies and hid out somewhere, or he got distracted somewhere else, you know?
Well, what if one of them doesn't like to drink and party?
Yeah, he's more straight-laced gremlin.
Yeah, maybe it was the bluesy one.
I do think it's funny when they show Pete and he's like shooting them with a slingshot and he cuts one on scissors on the Christmas lights.
How did he not electrocute himself?
I know. I always think that too, how dangerous it was. But he's the one who calls into Rock and Ricky later. He goes, there's these little green guys. He's like, hey, I'm getting really sick of this.
Listen, gang, Rock and Ricky's getting fed up with all this Orson Welles crap. So cool it.
But it's a fun movie.
It is a fun movie. And it holds up. You know, it's not nearly as... the look of it is somewhat dated, but that's because of the cinematography of it.
Right.
It just... and again, because it looks like it was shot on a back lot.
I do like the something about those winter settings. The snow everywhere.
Yeah.
And the way, you know, the Christmas decorations. It's a Christmas time movie, which is funny, but it's so dark.
It really is
a dark movie.
But also, like... snow doesn't collapse in on itself.
Yeah.
It leaves a footprint, and you know, there's certain moments with the snow where it's like, well, that doesn't really happen with snow.
That's why it didn't affect the gremlins and they didn't multiply.
Because it wasn't real snow.
Yeah, it's fake snow.
It's fake snow.
That's why. It's what are they? It's like soap flakes or something.
Yeah, it's soap flakes. It's ivory soap flakes.
But I still am really entertained by gremlins. I was thinking about, like, when Emma will be old enough to watch this, and it's going to be a while.
It's going to be dark.
I still think it's a little dark for her to watch.
I think, like, maybe, like, 12?
Yeah, much older, much more mature.
I think the PG-13 applies.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, because even at that age, you're still going to be a little disturbed by it.
Like, when I watched it, I remember parts of it being scary, but I was into it. Like, I got into that it being scary. You know, it's like I kind of enjoyed how it made me kind of scared, but also thrilled me at the same time and made me laugh. It's almost, you know, like the whole bar sequence, if you go back to that, it's nervous laughter, a lot of it, as you're laughing at them. You're kind of laughing at them, but you're also like, this is kind of creepy, too.
Yeah, it's very disarming.
Yeah. Because Kate is, like, being held captive, and she's frightened for her life. And
yeah, I always wondered why she was still there.
Yeah, like, why? How did it... The only thing I think is they bum rushed inside and she was trapped there, you know, and started serving them.
Well, there was a crook with a ski mask and a gun if she did try to get out.
That is true. That is true. I think, Joe, this is definitely after this, you know, you're thinking, what is Joe Dante going to do next? And you're excited about it. And honestly, he did one of my favorite movies after this that I still love and love to watch. And that is what, Bill?
I don't know. The Burbs?
He did Explorers next.
Holy shit, you're right. I thought it was before. I thought Explorers is what got him the job.
No,
wow.
Explorers came out in 1985, the following year. And what got him the job is Steven Spielberg saw The Howling.
Oh.
And he enjoyed The Howling, and that's pretty much what got him.
Wow, that of all the movies to get him the job.
Yeah. And remember, what he first did was, I believe, the Twilight Zone segment. He did one of the coolest segments in the Twilight Zone about the kid who can have whatever he wants. There was a lot of Warner Brothers cartoon stuff.
I was always freaked out by that part. I never really liked it as much.
Well, I hate the little kid. He's such a little shit.
Yeah.
But I love the live action. The so cool in that, the live action Tasmanian Devil part.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I always thought that was so badass to see that like in live action that they did a really good job with it. But I still think George Miller's is the best segment in that. The John Lithgow.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's the most effective one, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, Joe Dante, he did a great job of Gremlins. It was a lot of fun. It's a strange movie. It's like, it's... When you analyze it, before the Gremlins happen, everyone's miserable already, you know?
It's only driven the town further into depression.
Billy's kind of... He's kind of the hero, and I guess Gizmo's the hero, but... Billy kind of...
He's also the villain.
Billy kind of meanders through the movie, too, like unsure of what's going on in a
way. If he was more responsible, it never would have happened.
Right. I mean, he does spring to action when he needs to. He risks his life to go to the boiler room and let
true.
The gas loose to blow them all up and stuff. But
true.
Still, I'm not sure that, like, after the movie's over, you don't think, well, he's going to have a great life now. You don't think that at all when the movie's
no,
over.
No, hell no.
You're like, well, they're still unemployed. And actually,
how's this town going to rebuild itself? I guess you got to open a noodle factory.
It's like, wait, is Billy out of a job now, too? His boss is dead, and the bank is in shambles, and the town is pretty much ruined. They're
screwed. Well, you don't know if the boss is dead in the theatrical cut.
Right, that's true. Yeah, he could be at home. In fact, I even thought that. Like, Judge Reinhold and... The boss, they're off at home and they're fine. They probably don't even
They probably don't even live in that town.
They live in the rich area of town.
Yeah.
Remember, because Judge Reinhold, remember what he said?
Come on, we're talking cable.
You see my new place yet? I haven't seen your old place.
Yeah. We're talking cable. All right. Well, guys, that was Gremlins. Thank you for revisiting the classic with us. The 1984 classic, Bill. Lots of awesome video games at that time, I'm sure.
Oh, God, yeah. Atari. Hello.
Yeah, totally. They do reference at least one video game in the movie, and that's Ms. Pac-Man, right?
Yeah, I think Nintendo came out in 85.
Is there any arcade games in the background? I can't remember. Like at
no.
At the bar or something.
No, there isn't.
I'm going to have to go back and really check, because I spotted
the That's important.
Game. Spotted the Burger King. I didn't see any Pepsi logos like I did in the Goonies, but we'll see. It's always fun to spot that out, who had the little tie-in with the movie, you know?
There were two arcade games in the Goonies, but we didn't get to see really what they were very close up.
Kind of just generic in the background.
Yeah.
Well, guys, Bill, it was great to revisit the Goonies with you.
Yes, it was.
And I can't wait to do another 80s classic. So you guys tune in and find out what it is. And after you listen to this, if you want to talk about it, post about it on Facebook or our forum. And it'd be cool to get more dialogue to go with this. And
yeah, I would.
Like I was saying, Bill, it would also be cool, like anybody who hasn't seen Gremlins, that they watch it because they want to listen to this.
So yeah, and let us know.
It'd be cool to get the fresh perspective, because one thing that dates movies like this is effects. You know, like this.
And we don't get effects like this anymore.
Right. It's all animatronic, all puppets. And
If this was made now, it would be a CGI mess.
Oh, it would. And there's even one part that is so awkward looking, but I love it. And it's the stop motion animation of all of the gremlins when they first come out of the YMCA.
Yeah.
Walking down the street. It's so awkward looking.
Well, it's like the matte painting and then combined with the stop motion.
Yeah. But I love it. It's just got character to it, you know? And that's it. I guess that's all.
Yep, that's it. I think we're done.
All right, everybody. We'll see you on the next movie. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
And don't feed them after midnight.
Don't get them wet.
Now this is podcasting.